Welcome to the Musings series, audio book readings, reading from Photo Albums of the Heart Mind, published by All Book Books, written by monk Walter E. Harris III. Thanks for listening. And continuing with the last chapter of the book, chapter 9, The Spider. This is after the information about the heart. And the comparison statistics having to do with the heart and the mind. Standing Rocks. So much went west, young man and woman. The philosophies, the gurus, the yogas, the healing modalities, the Chinese food and Japanese sushi. Centuries on the Achilles' heels of Columbus, European colonization, subjugation of the sacred feminine. So much was already West, timeless man and woman, intricate trade routes, prayers laid down into the Mother Earth, co-thriving with all the nature beings. Now again, the original people spreading their messages and consciousness to a world starving for spirituality and the healing of rivers and air and soil. The water protectors at Standing Rock, though attacked by the corporate empire, like water seeping around Turtle Island and reawakening the consciousness of the 70% of water within each of us. Reawakening the consciousness to protect what is dear for now and future generations, and so the ancestors' prayers can be fulfilled. Standing Rock has helped get the world's attention to the sacredness of water, and many are healing from the trauma of doing so. Some of the key aspects: prayer and spiritual camps, nonviolent direct action, not protesting against, rather standing up for, hence water protectors. True community lifestyle. 300+ Native Nations of Turtle Island gathering and showing support. U.S. Army veterans supported natives and apologized and asked forgiveness for past atrocities, plus support from other non-natives. In 2017, the river Whanganui in New Zealand, revered by the Maori, was granted the same legal rights as human beings, and following that precedent, the same for the Ganges and its main tributary, the Yamuna, in India. Slovenia became the first European nation to make water a constitutional right. Water is life. In Lakota, Mini Wichoni, you and me, that which carries feeling between us. Water gives an essence of what is nowadays called leaderless movements. There is no big cheese molecule. Geopolitics sees it otherwise. For one of many examples, the Guarani are the original peoples of the region. And the following long quote is from an article, The New Water Barons, Wall Street Mega Banks are Buying Up the World's Water, by Zhou Xing Yang, December 21st, 2012. That was actually right about the date of the solstice and the beginning of the age of the Pacha in the Mayan calendar. The quote, "The Guarani aquifer, located beneath the surface of Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay, is one of the world's largest aquifer systems and is an important source of fresh water." That quote was from the Guarani aquifer information. The next quote is from the New Water Barons article. And then, while we're at it, the next quote after that is from "Washington Has Been at War for 16 Years, Why?" by Paul Craig Roberts. And the next quote is from an article, "Telesur, Cuban Abolitionists Slam Foreign Military Bases." The lands purchased by the Bush family sit over not only South America's largest aquifer, but the world's as well, Aquifero Guarani. This aquifer is larger than Texas and California combined. Familiar megabanks and investing powerhouses such as Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, UBS, Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, Macquarie Bank, Barclays Bank, the Blackstone Group, Allianz with a Z, and HSBC Bank, among others, are consolidating their control over water. Wealthy tycoons such as T-Bone Pickens, former President George H.W. Bush and his family, Hong Kong's Lee Ka-shing, Philippines' Manuel V. Pangilinan, and other Filipino billionaires and others are also buying thousands of acres of land with aquifers, lakes, water rights, water utilities, and shares in water engineering and technology companies all over the world. And the next quote. There are three reasons for Washington's war, not America's war, as Washington is not America, on Syria. The third reason has to do with Israel's need for the water resources of southern Lebanon. In 2017, at the 5th International Seminar for Peace and the Abolition of Foreign Military Bases, Silvio Platero, president of the Cuban Peace Movement, stated that the fundamental objective of the event is to exchange experiences and ideas on issues of global concern, given the increase in military bases worldwide, especially in areas where water sources and mining zones are located. Embedded with the enemy. Perhaps you have an image embedded in your consciousness, an image that misguides you, a false self-image or an image of how you think something is supposed to be or look. An image implanted, embedded by societal expectations or a religious ideal or a government dictate or an educational expectation of how to behave. Perhaps it is a green lawn marketed by chemical companies in the 1950s to brainwash people as to what a lawn should look like, then becoming the American dream of God's little acre poisoned, the so-called owners disrespecting the waterways, birds, worms, squirrels, opossums, raccoons. F-A-U-X, a faux, all-American, all-green. A friend told me that in days of yore, with castles, green grass was a sign of wealth and success. And so the psychosis passed down to every little king in his little castle, betraying nature and the commonwealth. Perhaps it is the perfect lover, an image from a magazine or TV ad. Perhaps it is a god with long, stringy white beard. The question becomes, how will you untangle from the false image's snare, its stranglehold on your consciousness, which in turn can twist your body, twist the bodies of nature beings like some chemical-induced inquisition, with the Christ children left screaming, "Why have you forsaken us?" Some say we were made in His image, but does anyone question who the His is and what image He may have had and now has? Are we not multifaceted? This traveler's unsolicited advice: find that false photo in your heart mind, then burn it, and let the ashes feed the new image, which is probably a very old, timeless image, perhaps part of the original instructions you were given before you journeyed to this Mother Earth. Make peace with your mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. When it comes to Indra's net and romantic relationships, here's a perspective from experience, a personal confession, in service of this traveler's fellow man and fellow S woman, because once you start on a relationship road, it can be tricky to get off, double entendre intended. You choose how you relate with your mirrors. Consider that it could be an aspect of yourself that you're attracted to when you're attracted to someone else, someone outside yourself. This traveler's evolution of sexual preference has gone from hetero to bi to homo. While fully committed to the latter as essential to my spiritual evolution, on occasion I have noticed attractions to particular feminine archetypes. Because of my vow, there was no way that could become sexual. Yet, I could see how some people get instantly hooked by acting immediately. Later in the day, when by myself, I would discover what had been a latent feminine energy within myself. So, for example, if I was attracted to the way a woman moved her hips as she walked, it became clear that my hips were too restricted and would, in fact, enjoy a little extra motion. My manner of walking changed, and boy, Does that feel good? As with many males, this traveler was societally programmed in his teens to viscerally equate females with pleasure, from Playboy magazine to boob tube sitcoms to the advertising tees, and programmed that males, though they can hug, are not sensitive or very good at nurturing. Mirrors are always mirroring. Conscious couples are often meant to be together, even after the earthly garb do they part. Yet it is well worth considering the various levels of attraction, sexual and otherwise, with the people with whom you hang the most, sexually and otherwise. And the next section starts with a song lyric quote from Steely Dan, Here at the Western World. Ruthie will give you the silver key to open the red door. Lay down your Jackson and you will see the sweetness you've been crying for. Replaced by the face of Harriet Tubman, far too long his mugshot disgraced the $20 bill. ATMs spitting out the fast currency like buckshot at a Dick Cheney barbecue. Andrew Jackson relegated to the back of the bill like some kind of Rosa Parks karmic irony. His presidency instituted the Indian Removal Act, 1830. As a result, the Trail of Tears, a forced relocation of native peoples. How many American school children learn the history and grieve for the Chickasaw, Choctaw, Muscogee, Creek, Seminole, and original Cherokee nations, also Wyandotte, Kickapoo, Potawatomi, Shawnee, and Lenape. A portrait of former president and sociopath Andrew Jackson hangs in President Trump's Oval Office. Money is green energy that can be used for good, yet also one of the stickiest strands in the web of full spectrum dominance. And recently I read that the Tubman on the bill is not definite yet, so we'll see. Ribbons like strands of a spider's web. The esteemed journalist, author, and documentary filmmaker John Pilger, in an article May of 2017, reported that, quote, filming undercover in East Timor in 1993, I followed a landscape of crosses, great black crosses etched against the sky, crosses on peaks, crosses marching down the hillsides, crosses beside the road. They littered the earth and crowded the eye. The inscriptions on the crosses revealed the extinction of whole families wiped out in the space of a year, a month, a day. Village after village stood as memorials. This is the name of a village. I'm not sure how to pronounce. K-R-A-R-A-S. Kraras is one such village, known as the Village of the Widows. The population of 287 people was murdered by Indonesian troops. Using a typewriter with a faded ribbon, a local priest had recorded the name, age, cause of death and date of the killing of every victim. In the last column, he identified the Indonesian battalion responsible for each murder. It was evidence of genocide. End quote. Who is the true artist? Typing. Catch you on the flip side. What if the opposite is true? The opposite of what? She asked, though maybe by now she answered it for herself and is a man. Okay, the opposite of what you've been taught, of what you believe, of so-called commonly accepted knowledge. What if your whole world spun 180 degrees? If it hasn't already, and even if it has, someday it will. That's how life rolls. Yet ever the center. Feed two birds with one seed is the original phrase. Spirit is originally in the details, as the Tao Te Ching advises. Undertake difficult tasks by appreciating what is easy about them. Do great deeds by focusing on their little details. All difficulties under heaven arise from what is simple. All great things under heaven depend upon little details. That's that quote from the Tao Te Ching. Swastikas can be found in Buddhist temples, Shinto shrines, Tibetan and native peoples' spiritual artwork, and elsewhere. The ancient symbol is auspicious, a sign of good luck. According to Colonel James Churchward, the symbol evolved from the circled cross and signifies the energy of, quote, the four great primary forces, end quote. But the Nazis twisted it. Once again, the spelling N-O-T-S-E-E. But the Nazis twisted it. The cotton gin or jenny, along with African slave labor on stolen native land, made cotton a key part of the Industrial Revolution and the birth of what we know today as globalization. Imagine a fair trade wind turbine or a motor spinning with the power of a gin, providing energy at virtually no cost. Imagine yourself being powered by a gin. As mentioned previously, that's J-I-N-N, which will get addressed as the explained. It's one of the pictographs of the Tao Te Ching or Tao Te Jin. Row, row, row your boat. When one is attempting to understand something beyond one's immediate understanding, the eyelids have been known to flutter rapidly. When one is trying to compute in one's head new information, a deep truth, or an influx of spiritual energy bordering on a vision, same action. Let's call it waking rapid eye movement. The sound of an old film projector rapidly sputtering frame by frame. While it is seemingly impossible to prove, dream states are both associated with rapid eye movement, aka REM, REM sleep, plus various memory functions. It is as if the eyes and mind become an inner film projector, eyelids fluttering at so many frames per second, a front row seat or bed at the private theater within. Yet also not private, as dreams can include others, with sometimes the literal energy of oneself arriving at distant places via one's astral body. The process is called astral projection, or travel, which, by the way, can be done while awake. Here's a Zen koan experiment you can try at home. Ask yourself, how do I know I am not now dreaming? Buddha is not exactly a person, rather a state of being and doing, a consciousness that anyone can attain. The word Buddha means to be awake, awakened one, to awaken to the natural law. In the current colloquial parlance, Buddha is woke. Lucid dreaming is the ability to know when in a dream state that one is dreaming, to wake up within the dream. Buddhas do this while awake. The ability to guide the events of the dream can also be a facet of lucid dreaming. Gently down the stream. In Tibetan Buddhism, the Buddha nature is as a jewel covered with mud. It is inherent, yet... There's a lot. I love ellipses, so a lot of the times when I pause while reading these, there are ellipses. Ellipses, I think, is the word. Or ellipsi. It is inherent, yet the lotus, too, grows out of the mud. It is widely recognized that one of the most good idea-generating times for artists or for anyone solving problems is when one is in the half-awake, half-asleep state before bedtime or soon after awakening. This halfway house of consciousness is a kind of meditative state where one is tired enough not to be concerned with mundane affairs, and at the same time, some of one's consciousness is in a dreamy state. With 24/7 news, technology, and bright lights in big cities, this traveler worries that humans, being kind, are losing touch with the inner guidance system, the ability to access different states of consciousness. This traveler worries that the electric lights are always on, but nobody's sensitivity, empathy, consciousness is home. And that is especially true for the global corporate militarized empire. For how else can be explained the mass hunger when there is no shortage of food? Mass homelessness when there is no shortage of shelter? Mass murder when there is no shortage of wealth, both material and spiritual? Pathways, number one. You have to experience and live it to truly know. Yet, the following explanation of the ancient Chinese pictograph or ideogram for Tao can be considered as a sign of or gatepost into the actual experience or way of life. The modern English, go with the flow, is perhaps the best soundbite of the unbiteable. This traveler's version is a mix from book, Chinese characters, their origin, etymology, history, classification, and signification, a thorough study from Chinese documents by Dr. L. Uyghur, S.J., Paragon and Dover, 1965, originally from 1927-1915. Tao, the Watercourse Way, Alan Watts, with Al Chung Liang Huang, Pantheon Books, 1975. Westward Singing Bird, a westward transmittal of the teachings of Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, by Kiran Nkwai Shen Xian, 1998. That's quoted numerous times in this book, and again, that footnote to access that is spirit-alembic.com. And Wikipedia, Tao, T-A-O. Much gratitude for their helping to further elucidate and understand the great and mysterious Tao. And then in the book, here's the ancient pictograph of the Tao. In this traveler's experience, even simply contemplating the pictograph and corresponding words, explained more fully on the ahem facing page, can help you along the path. Plus, there are texts to study and apply and experience. The little joke of the ahem facing page is because, well, the Tao, the picture of the Tao has a human face on it. So, the next page, pathways number two. Now, this is going to be a little tricky, I guess, because this explains the picture. So, we'll see how it goes. Pathways number two. The arrows above the head signify hair, and or three footprints, and or water, river. An original had walking, marching as one of the pictures. Then later it became step by step, or going and pausing. Very Yang Yin. And perhaps three footprints is going, pausing, going. Also, perhaps in conjunction with path walking, the outer lines framing the head and arrows are considered as crossroads or gateposts. A related pictograph mentions top of the head. It is through the fontanelle, the soft spot of infant skull, that the soul of a Taoist contemplative goes out of the body to rove about. Hair can also signify the gossamer string-like connection with being guided by spirit or first mover, with hair acting as antennae. The steps, listed specifically as left foot forward then right, could also be looking left and right, where to step. A simple summary, rhythmic movement, to go ahead, intelligent rhythm. To walk and live with the Tao is a form of heart-mind consciousness. The arrows also look like the pictograph for river. A dictionary note says that they are not, but this traveler says, maybe. Added associations are to guide, lead, and tree or wood. In sum, a person guided by subtle spirit-body communications flows like a river, traveling the physical and spiritual worlds, guided by attention to the crossroads, gateposts, signs, tree consciousness. That's worth reading again. In sum, a person guided by subtle spirit-body communications flows like a river, traveling the physical and spiritual worlds, guided by attention to the crossroads, gateposts, signs, tree consciousness. Web browsing, number one. How you proceed each day within the many-layered journey of Indra's net depends upon your physical circumstances, the consciousness you carry with you, and the beings you relate with. Those who seek power and dominion, whether large or small scale, plot their trajectories along an interconnected web with the intent to trap something or someone, the two inevitably intertwined. This form of networking is twisted and not in accord with the natural law or Tao, yet its effects are too often real. The delusory large scale is dominated by extractive resource grabs, the slave labor that makes it possible, and the destructive side effects on land, air, water, and peoples, two-legged and otherwise. Full-spectrum dominance seeks to control the entire web. This dominance may include good stuff so as to pacify the ignorant and/or lazy masses. In his book, Base Nation, David Vines cites September 2, 1940 as when Franklin Delano Roosevelt started the U.S. on its quest to become a, quote, global superpower, unquote, via a network of worldwide military bases. This is the same president whose New Deal threw the populace many a chewable bone in response to the Great Depression of the 30s, which began with the October of 1929 Wall Street crash. Henry Kissinger has summed up geopolitics, quote, "Who controls food controls the people. Who controls energy controls entire continents. And who controls money controls the world." Outright fascism is brutal, yet what Sheldon Wolin in Democracy Incorporated called inverted totalitarianism can be just as brutal, except that faceless corporations rule rather than one fanatical leader. Thus, many people barely notice. Delusory small scale is akin to personal machinations as often revealed in Shakespeare's tragedies, or unresolved psychological issues as in Tennessee Williams's plays. The individual's agenda, as with the fascist state, is, and this is underlined, egoic gratification at the expense of others. Perhaps each of us must get tested and learn to overcome the selfish proclivity of being a little Hitler. Web browsing number two. One can also proceed each day with a sensitivity to and respect for all the other sacred little mirrors that make Indra's net what it is. The strands, behaving like fiber optics, uniting various beings in multitudinous ways. Each being aiming to fulfill his or her true purpose and to help others fulfill theirs. One way to begin each day's journey through Indra's net is by giving thanks to each jewel, each mirror. Try and recognize which pathways of the day may work smoothly and which may not, so that then you can better navigate the course. Yet, instead of always wanting the personally smooth route, remember that some of your pathway work may include helping to clear up issues so that the whole net functions more smoothly. As example, water protectors at Standing Rock didn't complain. They consider it an honor and a loving duty to protect the water, protect Mother Earth, and all the relations. The deceivers cruise the net, not having polished their inner jewel. Those who are awakening or are awake do the work of polishing their inner jewel. Every clear jewel can help spread the light of consciousness throughout the net because all the jewels are reflecting all the jewels. Likewise, hoarding at the expense of others' consciousness reduces the holes potential for positive flow. The variety of lives, which includes beings such as lichen, moss, weeds, stars, etc., is essential for the overall well-being and health of organic cosmic ecology. in C.G. Jung and the Sioux traditions, dreams, vision, nature, and the primitive, Bine Deloria Jr. wrote, Jung's work with patients brought him to the realization that the psyche was, in some way or another, the universe observing itself. End quote. You look at and touch the moss, yet the moss is looking, feeling you, too. Screen and or seen, S-C-E-N, screen and or seen. As Deloria makes clear in his book, the Lakota and other Native original peoples have spent thousands upon thousands of years studying and living with the natural surroundings so as to survive and hone their skills, both physical and intuitive. Yet, modern humans being kind have become couch potato, no offense to potatoes, TV screen watchers. Don't get this traveler who has done his share of watching and enjoying and still does, but less so, wrong. It is when the disconnect from knowing the world by being with nature, by communing with the cycles, happens and the TV, now computer, and handheld screens become as godheads, that imbalance occurs and Spock, or Mother Earth, raises more than an eyebrow. Before the 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami, many animals and indigenous peoples saw and or felt the signs and moved to higher ground. And survived. In the late 15th century, when the Spanish conquistadors were violently colonizing, the Kogi people of northern Colombia went up into the mountains so as to survive, and they did. Circa 1989-1990, some of the Kogi, called Elder Brothers, came down from the mountain to warn humanity about what is happening to Mother Earth and with the climate chaos. The word screen has positive connotations, for example, keeping out unwanted stuff, yet in the context at hand, has not the screen become a barrier to the bigger picture? A word root of screen, to cut, shows how our gadgets are cutting us off from nature and perhaps each other, though in many cases they are helpful tools, saving lives and bringing people together. How much time we spend with, learn from, and adapt to the nature scene, and how much with the man-made screen may determine our future. And the next section begins with a quote from Chelsea Manning, who, when asked why she leaked the documents leading to, at that time, his imprisonment, said, I stopped seeing just statistics and information, and I started seeing people. This section begins with a quote. The military is now operating in at least 49 of the 54 African countries. It may be operating in every single one, writes Vine, David Vine, citing Nick Terse. That's from Base Nation. But there's no major war, no media sensation. What gives? Actually, it is what takes. As shown in Tom Burgess's stunning book, The Looting Machine, Warlords, Oligarchs, Corporations, Smugglers, and the Theft of Africa's Wealth. If we consider a djinn as a machine with spirit, then the global corporate empire thievery is a heartless machine. Burgess's book is the African version of Eduardo Galeano's Open Veins of Latin America, 5 centuries of the pillage of a continent. Vine also cites journalist Robert D. Kaplan as hearing the following refrain when visiting various U.S. bases around the globe. Quote, welcome to Injun country, end quote. That's I-N-J-U-N. This proves that the same psycho-illogy that committed mass murder of 90 to 95% of the so-called American Indians is alive and unwell via full spectrum dominance and the global war of terror. You'd have to be a Nazi to not see the horrific idiocy, to not see the beauty in each being, to not see the astounding beauty of Mother Earth, Pachamama, and the wise ways of peoples who continue to survive and are beginning again to thrive. Chapter 3 of this book explores turning points, yet what brings about a mass turning point? The so-called Revolution of 1776 appeared as such a turning point, but it was far from inclusive when considering slaves, women, and the Declaration of Independence's ludicrously hypocritical lie. Quote, has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. End quote. As the Mother Earth turns. Many say we are living in a time of great change. Indigenous peoples' prophecies unfolding. Climate change is tapping on, knocking at, or blowing down doors. As of December 21st, 2012, the beginning of the age of the Pacha, the reawakening of sacred feminine energies. David Corton wrote a book, The Great Turning from Empire to Earth Community, published in 2007, exploring how a 5,000-year cycle of empire is fading away, hence, in this traveler's words, why the global corporate empire oligarchic capitalist greed mongers are kicking and screaming like a 3-year-old not wanting to let go of a new toy at bedtime. No offense to 3-year-olds. The U.S. empire global military bases, along with their infrastructure, is a gargantua. It is daunting to think how transformation can happen, yet Vine's book Base Nation provides a clue. When bases close, there are often positive effects and, quote, in the cases where communities do suffer intense economic harm, most tend to rebound within a few years' time, end quote. U.S. empire military spending for 2015 was 54% of all federal discretionary spending, and as of that same year, more than the combined military budgets of China, Russia, UK, France, Japan, Saudi Arabia, and India combined. U.S. empire sells weaponry to Saudi Arabia, who has created a mass murder and cholera crisis in Yemen. China's human rights abuses against Tibetans go underreported, and sadly, more. These huge investments in destruction at the expense of healing are endangering the gorillas in Mother Earth's room, the mountain, eastern, and western lowland gorillas in Africa. Thankfully for canaries, coal mines are going out of favor. Has anyone invented a solar panel, etc., so inexpensive it will evolutionize our energy needs? And end with a quote. No tree or plant species on Earth has the commercial, economic, and environmental potential of hemp. End quote. That's from plantexperts.com, and the rest is too long to explain. Too many dashes and stuff. But plantexperts.com, or look up John Trudell at the Green Festival, something like that. Of gins and onions, again, the gin is J-I-N-N, of gins and onions. A gin, like an onion, has many layers, and just when you think you have it figured out, there's another layer. In fact, so mysterious are the gin, you can never figure them out, but you can learn to work with a gin and allow yourself to be played like an instrument or conscious machine. In Arabic, quote, jinn are spiritual beings invisible to the naked human eye, the unseen beings. Surat al-Jinn is the 72nd chapter of the Quran with 28 verses. And, according to pre-Islamic lore, the jinn are born of smokeless fire, or fire of a scorching wind, end quotes. This traveler has not read the text, but marvels, as with the pyramids of Kemet, ancient Egypt, and Abya-Yala, Latin and Mesoamerica, as with the Lakota and Sami living structures. How is it that pre-Islamic lore is familiar with the same essence as ancient China? Since a jinn or genie can be considered as a spirit in a machine, let's define machine in context. From the ancient Greek mekhane, full of resources, inventive, ingenious, clever, crafty, and the Proto-Indo-European mag, M-A-G-H, to enable, have power. The ancient Greeks called it deus ex machina, a theatrical device where actors could play gods or the gods descend to the stage. The Tree of Life of mystical Kabbalah has three pillars. One emphasizes the emotional and the artistic, another the mental along with robotic efficiency, and the third is the middle way. Thus, what makes things hum in a big way is a combination of structure and spontaneity, mechanism and intuition within a framework that morphs, yet does not ever lose its essential form. Quantum physics points to or is that waves at a similar way, and since quantum physics is just starting to reveal what original peoples have known and been saying since way back when, it all comes full spiral now, eh? There's a lot in that page basically pointing at that various mystical traditions and structures provide a framework within which there's a mysterious spirit aspect, and then there's also a physical, scientific, mechanical aspect, and we as little vows along the journey, or however one defines oneself, it's ours to learn how to navigate that, or work the machine, or be played by spirit, or whatever phrasing fits your pathway. And this is the page, is the explanation of the jinn, J-I-N-N, which again, as with the other ones, with the Tao, I tried to sum up, put to English words and sum up various translations of the Chinese. So that's where, and various transliterations from other people of the Chinese. So it's kind of a long-winded translation, transliteration. Jin, spirit's silken threads guiding us to unite with ingenious source Mother Earth. And there's a footnote in this book which has all three of the pictures for the Tao Te Ching, so that one can then find those three specifically and study them as much as one wants. The left picture is composed of two cocoons producing the lightest thread, with the bottom part signifying several threads intertwined into a bigger thread. Consider the spinning jenny used for making cotton thread as an industrialized jin. Consider genes, that's G-E-N-E-S. The right picture is the underground watercourse from under the surface. That's mentioned at the beginning of the book in the first chapter, Undercurrents. That's from under the surface and water. And the I shape, sort of like a broad, capital I shape, signifies a person standing with the Mother Earth. And some of the pictures are surface soil and subsoil rock. Those are the two vertical lines. And along with the vertical line, two horizontal lines representing surface soil and subsoil rock. And the vertical line is what grows or is produced. Thus, to examine the underground veins so as to see what may happen or grow. Geomancy or earth divination is a method of divination that interprets markings on the ground or the patterns formed by tossed handfuls of soil, rocks, or sand. That's a quote. All a reminder to look to nature and all our relations for guidance. The pictures, words, ideas are a guidepost that one can ponder and apply. As example, this traveler tunes in to jinn energy by trying to see or know what is happening beneath the surface and or with Indra's net, whether at a party, with world news, or life in general. And by remembering that an impulse, idea, and intuition as light as a strand of silk could determine which way my day goes. Following an urge for coffee, then meeting people by chance at a cafe. The day's intertwining of strands. Jin, as spirit in a machine, is both solid as earth and delicate as a slender threat. So I try to give example of, because this is, it's truly a lifelong study, to study these pictographs and apply them and live them. So I try in the book to give, you know, just a little glimpse or a suggestion, an example of my personal experience with it, to try to give an extra flavor that someone can apply. The next section begins with a quote from something that a friend had said, a thread that ripples. Quote, it starts under the skin with a unique tingling, a thread that ripples, is how a friend described her under-the-radar ability to pick up on a distress signal. She telephoned one day when this traveler was perturbed about something. This is an example of the tuning in and reaching out that cannot ever be stopped, except by the dumbing down and numbing of your openness to other levels of consciousness. These intimate experiences are typically easier when one is emotionally close with someone, when the channels are open. These experiences can happen with anyone, as the likes of mediums and psychics reveal, and any being, flowers, birds, vegetables, and so forth. This traveler has personally seen in dream visions some kind of spirit form of the sunflower, the impatience flower, and cardinal, as well as learning in a meditative state that the morning glory helps with deep listening. These beings are referred to as devas, angelic beings, or kachinas. Indra's net is as vast and multidimensional as it is meticulously precise. And this section ends with a quote from a bird store calendar. It takes as many as 12 days for an oriole to weave its nest. One Baltimore oriole was observed spending 40 hours building a nest with about 10,000 stitches and the tying of thousands of knots, all with its beak. All right, a couple more pages of the book. Compost. The example that came to mind for explaining how past, present, future are all connected is compost. All summer and into autumn, grass clippings, eggshells, coffee grounds, vegetable and fruit skins, etc., go into the compost garbage bin with some holes drilled into it for air. A little water is added and it gets stirred. When first starting to brew, various bugs are highly active. Then things quiet down and continue to ferment. Long story short, the compost is kept in the garbage bin all winter. Early May, a few days to a week before planting the vegetables in the small garden, the compost gets dumped, watered, and mixed in with the soil. For this traveler and kids of all ages that visit, it's a great learning tool for staying in tune with the cycles of the seasons and for showing that what can become waste can instead be transformed for nurturing. After winter prayers, on the day of spring, when unloading the compost, summer and autumn memories, future prayers for and visions of fresh vegetables, all in the current moments of mixing, tilling, and feeding the soil. And with sunlight beings, brother wind, and sister waters, a reminder that beneath the surface is not necessarily a downward thing, for it is also within. When this traveler picks up the book of short stories by Lester Goran, it reminds of dreaming his name, and how all things, all beings are woven of dream strands, of past, present, future, the gossamer threads strengthening when spun together. Each person has a unique lives story, an inner book, a guide, a course, as in study, and a path that is one's to learn and live. And while a printed book can be an assistant, the deepest knowings come from within and from experience. May you live your story fully, and at the same time, respect, deep listen to, and relate with all the other stories, some more intimately than others, yet ever remembering that all are in the bookless book of living. I'll spell it out, a little pun in there in case you didn't get it. Compost script, like postscript, but compost script. Since it's the last page of the book as far as the writings, there's a little bit more after that. In 2015, in the, quote, Quetzalcoatl Feathered Serpent Temple near the Pyramid of the Sun at the Teotihuacan Archaeological Site, Mexican researcher Sergio Gomez discovered large quantities of liquid mercury in a chamber below the pyramid. And archaeologists using a robot found metallic spheres, which they dubbed disco balls, in an unexcavated portion of the tunnel near pyrite mirrors, end quote. While archaeologists run the risk of disturbing sacred sites, these tidbits point to where many things point: unsolved mystery. If you could see the face of a loved one in every blade of grass, strand of moss, squiggly earthworm, would you be able to use pesticides? Could you at least give thanks to a bush if you removed it due to home renovations? If you see the faces, the spirits, the sparklights in all beings, you can't help but relate with each being respectfully. Mother Earth and all of nature are calling for your love and caring. And so are the imprisoned, the refugees, the weak, the infirm, the oppressed, the poor, the rich, the struggling. What can you give while also being true to your story? Summer day, a child blowing soap bubbles, and in those glistening orbs, reflections of the sky, trees, grasses, house, timelessly ephemeral moments in the endless, jeweled mirrorings with dewdrops carrying feelings of the one spirit. And that wraps up the official reading of Photo Albums of the Heart Mind. Gonna do another little section, another little audio freebie, citing some mention of the footnotes, because there are 98 footnotes, and then there's also a thanks and acknowledgments and a little bit more information, and then also to also give a kind of a little summary, author's summary of the book, what kind of stands out in as essences or things to remember from it. Of course, every reader has a different take or gets what they get, but I guess it's interesting to hear what an author was hoping to emphasize or aiming to emphasize with a book. So that'll be somewhat brief because there's the book itself. So anyhow, thank you so much again for getting this far through the audio series, and blessings to you, and have a good one.